Now on to some letters to the evening news. First of all, the continuing saga of Anglia Square. GP Brown of Norwich has ideas on how the City Council purchase of the site could be financed. You report that the City Council is moving forward with the idea of purchasing Anglia Square. Inevitably, the source of funds for this is to be from the government, that well-known possessor of money tree forests and/or tax-increasing powers. Could I suggest that the council investigates an alternative source of funds? That would be applying a surcharge for that specific purpose on the council tax bills of everyone within the city boundary. That route would ensure that citizens have a direct financial interest in the scheme, and when successfully concluded, revenue would flow back to the city council and enable council tax bills to be cut. There is, of course, the possibility that the type of scheme that such as the Norwich Society would lobby for turns out to be the opposite of a financial success. In that case, citizens will be able to bask in the glow of having directly contributed to the redevelopment and/or vote accordingly at election time.
Politics now, as Liz Truss, a controversial political figure, is the subject of a letter from A.G. Firrell of Downham Market. I read with surprise Mervyn Lambert's defence of Liz Truss in Saturday's EDP. As a South West Norfolk constituent, I have to agree with James Bagg's comments. A number of fellow citizens obviously agreed, enabling a Conservative majority of over 26,000 to be overturned. Sadly, our previous MP was motivated by self-interest and was conspicuous by her absence from Norfolk, at least until immediately prior to the election, when she realised that perhaps she should show a modicum of interest. I agree that Gillian Shepherd was both a high-ranking government minister and a superb MP. She was honest, caring and compassionate, not always seemingly a priority in modern-day politics. Liz Truss has, I believe, already departed from Downham Market, never, I suspect, to return.
More political hot potatoes, this time in the USA. Gun rights in the USA, following the shooting at Donald Trump, is the main target of Steve McKinder of Denver. While every person on planet Earth will have heard about how close to Donald Trump's brain that potentially game-changing bullet passed and how he defiantly punched the air as he was bundled away, I have yet to hear anyone name the innocent bystander who was killed. Merely and dismissively identified as the bystander by the media, this poor person clearly has no more value than the chairs broken or rubbish bins overturned during the fracas. Trump walked away and will no doubt benefit from yet another gun event in this trigger-happy nation. And while supporters will feel relieved he survived, I guess the family of the bystander will only see their loved one's name casually propped over into the city's murder statistics. The endless horror of the USA's craven tolerance of this death cult love of guns takes your breath away at times like these.
A celebration of left-handedness comes from J. Ray of Aylsham. In response to Fred Smith's recent letter re, being left-handed doesn't make you inferior, Fred says that right-handed slash footed sports people aren't disadvantaged when they play left-handed slash footed sports people, but I disagree. I have a philosophy to back this up, and that is, it is almost normal to be right-handed slash footed, and because of it, those that are don't understand what their left-handed slash footed opponents are going to do. It's all about how the brain works. Take footballers. There has been far many greater left-footed players than right-footed. Those that come to mind being e.g. Maradona, Messi, back in the day Rangers' Jim Baxter, and although I hate to admit it, being a Spurs fan, Arsenal's Liam Brady and latterly Spain's Yamal. They all seem to have the ability to lead with their right shoulder and to drag the ball almost behind them on their left, which makes it difficult for right-footed players to tackle and take the ball off them without fouling. There's been some great left-handed tennis players, Nadal, McEnroe, Connors, Ivanisevic, Navratilova, Lava, So when you think about it, for the amount of left-handed players there are, pro rata, to right-handed players, their success rate is very high. Similar to Fred, I am left-handed. So much so that when I was at school, I used to get the cane for being so. It was deemed to be something to do with the devil. Also, being left-handed is considered to be lucky in love, which my wife will vouch for as she keeps telling me I am.
Lastly, a bit of nostalgia from H.J. Jackson of Norwich. I read with interest about the proposed plans for the Hotel Nelson site, EDP, July the 10th, and my mind was instantly transported back to my early days working at Bolton and Paul on Riverside. My daily commute took me past the impressive façade of the Great Eastern Hotel, which stood on the site until its demolition in the early 1960s. It would be lovely to think that the new structure could encompass some of the magisterial presence of that older hotel, which acted as an impressive entrance to the city to those arriving by train. So taken was I by the structure that I spent many hours drawing the river frontage, which ultimately led me to creating a linocut print in 1964. Over the years, I've seen a handful of black and white photographs of the Great Eastern Hotel, but never anything in colour.